Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Johnny's wonderful, amazing topic today, bulk. It's bulking season for those watching over on YouTube. I'm flexing, looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger right now. But he's talking about like getting gaylords of books and stuff. That's not, we're on two different planes here. But I will say bulk has been a huge beneficiary to my business this year so far, but the bulk Johnny gets into is way different than the bulk that the used book guy likes to get into, right? You guys know I don't want to be digging through gaylords, and unfortunately I can't fit a gaylord in the trunk of the Lamborghini, right? So like it's a completely different operation. So I'm gonna let him take it away on the bulk front, and I'm just gonna chime in and give my two cents.
Sure. And contrary to Mike's upsell here, I don't deal in gaylords that often. I deal in them every now and then. But I've always done bulk probably since the beginning, whether it's buying out from an estate sale or buying from mom and pops or an occasional thrift store buyout. I want everything on your shelf plus what you got in the back and or library cleanouts. So gaylords, they sound easy, but they come with a whole lot of complexities. There are certain things to be aware of, who you're getting them from, where they're pulling them from, and all these little other nuances. And we'll try to cover most of those on the podcast today. But before we get into the fancy life of gaylords, let's just talk about estate sales. So you walk into an estate sale, you got lured in because they showed a blurry photo of one shelf of books. You get there, and it's a whole library wing of books, and they all look spiffy. And at least half of them you want for, I don't know, eBay, if you're an eBay seller. Even if you're not an eBay seller, you think that they're going to scan good for Amazon. Let's say you're on the scanning side. You scan a couple, everything looks good. Whether they're in, I'm not going to say waste your time, because you're going to be exact if you scan every single one. But if it were me, I walk over to one of the little worker bees. And who's the man or woman in charge here? Is it you? And they're going to say no, because usually the person running around is normally the person that doesn't make the calls. So I ask them to scoop this person up for me whenever they got a moment, and I'll wait there patiently. And eventually they'll come around, and I'm like, look, I want them all, but I don't want to pay per piece like you got them here. What kind of deal can we work out? They'll hem-haw in a moment. Oh, they want them all. Because most of them view books as worthless and a pain because they're going to have to deal with it at the end of the estate sale anyway. So it'll go one of two ways. One, they'll tell you, we want to wait until the very last day because we want as much money for this family as possible, which is fair. And if they say that, I'm like, okay, how much for me to buy them all right now if I'm concerned that they're going to get picked over? And they'll give me kind of higher number than I would like, and I'll go for a slightly lower number, which they will then accept 9 times out of 10. Or it'll go the other way. They can't produce a number for you because they're looking at, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of books, and they can't come up with a number. And it's really tempting to throw out a number yourself. Do not do this. You wait till they're done with their brain exploding. You can kind of guide them to a number, like, look, you're offering two. How about I do by the pound, like 15 cents a pound? You got a lot of weight here. They don't know how to calculate weight in their heads. They don't. So you coming in with what you would normally pay on a pound basis is a good idea because it gives them a guideline. You are speaking first, and that's technically not the right play. But if they're struggling, you want to speed this along because time is money, folks. So we want to get in and out as quickly as we can. And then once the number's agreed upon, it comes the fun part. How do you get it? How do you get it to wherever you're trying to take it to, right? You got to have the right equipment. I have dollies that fit inside houses and carts that fit inside houses, like the door frames, because all doors are different. Does it have stairs? Are you going to have the fun fight the stair game? Or is it stored in an attic? Is it in a basement? Blah, blah, blah. I prefer tubs than their crappy boxes they provide. So I usually when I'm going to do this kind of run, I'm always prepared and I just have tubs ready to go. And I'll load unpack and load them in there because that's how I'm going to store them anyway. Until I can get to processing them. Put them on the truck. My tubs are stackable, so I can stack them in the bed of my truck, and they got holes in the lids. I didn't make the holes, they come this way. And then I just run a rope through there so I can stack three high and drive 70 miles down the highway just fine.
I think, I mean, in full transparency, I bulk is I approach it on a category basis. I used to do free pickups when I first started because you trade work for money, right, in the beginning. Nowadays, like if a tractor trailer pulled up outside and it was full of Gaylords of books and I said, "Hey, you can have these," I would say, "Keep on driving, mister. Someone else will take them." Now, this is just the experience I've had dealing with bulk books, right? I don't have a truck. I got a little Altima. Yeah, I can fit, I've had that thing filled to the top with books before. It's just a lot more work in today's environment of selling on Amazon for a lot less profit if I compare it to the other categories that I'm willing to buy bulk in, which is DVDs and CDs. I still have bulk book sources, but they are quality, right? Like when the libraries reach out to me, these are all fresh donations that nobody's seen besides the person I literally dropped them off at the library. So this is like the cream of the crop stuff. So I don't have a problem loading up the car if it's going to be loaded with bangers. But I'm here to tell you, I've had some terrible bulk experiences where you have your free pickup ad and you show up and, it's a mess. There's rats in the boxes, there's roaches in the boxes. I think bulk is so glorified to the new seller that you don't realize how many things can go sideways, right? You're just like, "I'm going to get so much." And then you're like, you're not thinking about the rats, the roaches, the microwave cookbooks, the spending your whole day and you make absolutely nothing. And then you have to get rid of it all.
It's a lot of work. And you're right, it's overly glorified on social medias and or YouTube channels. The guys doing it on the YouTube channels, couple things there. Sometimes they have people do it for them. And the work doesn't come out in the video. They just, well, we picked up 20 Gaylords, we got this amount of money. Key words in there, we. It's more than just the person on the screen doing it. More than likely, it's just going to be you starting out if you're going to attempt bulk. And then Mike's absolutely right. What do you do with the stuff left over? Because it ain't good for eBay, it ain't good for Amazon, but it's there still. It has to go away somehow, some way. There's lots of ways. I tend to, if you can, you're not going to have this probably off the gate, but if you got another reselling buddy who sells a certain type of thing and you got a lot of this type of certain thing, it's just a flat amount per piece kind of deal. Barring that, well, you're looking at what Mike talks about, second in Charles. If you don't got a second in Charles, well, there's McKay's. If you don't got a McKay's, unfortunately, bottom of the barrel is half price books. I hate half price books because they trap you there. The other two at least let you leave.
I literally, dude, I don't even care. Like, my time is worth more to me now. So it's funny. I actually got to do this. Maybe I'll do it today. I took a photo of my last library pickup, all the duds at the storage unit. And I literally have somebody come meet me at the storage unit 5 minutes away and load up their car and take it. Like, I'm not taking it to donate anymore. That itself is too much time for me and too
I
much
agree.
work, right? I got to reload the car. Then I got to go to the whatever thrift store I hate. Then I got to unload the car again. So now I just say, "Hey, throw it up on Facebook Marketplace for free." And I literally get rid of stuff the same day. And I got all my money out of it, right? I think that's like another thing with the bulk is
Ace and pennies, right?
people
Yeah.
don't want to get rid of the stuff, man. They're
I want
like,
to do lots. I'll just make an eBay lot. Yeah.
there
Let's
is
do an
like
eBay lot,
five
Mike.
people in the universe of media selling that can actually do lots and actually make money. Like, that is it. Like, out of the millions and millions of booksellers, there's maybe five of them that can actually make money off it. And that's literally a focus that they have in their business. Me and you, right? Like, I get all those, I forget the kids' names, like the old books, but it's like, I don't know.
Party boys.
Hardy Boys, there you go. Or like the Agatha Christies. And you're like, oh, I'm over here about to
I mean,
cook them
if
up.
you're dumping Agatha, I'll take her, man.
Dude, I'm dumping that as far as fast as I can get rid of it.
Ah, send it my way. I sell Agatha all day on eBay.
It's just for me, right? Like, it doesn't work. Like, 100% of the time, it doesn't work. The reason I have the bulk book, that I do get involved in is because it's real quality stuff. If it's free book pickups, I don't do those no more. I am not interested in it. Sure, if another library approaches me and says, "Hey, do you want to work with me?" 100%. This is like good stuff. So maybe this transitions us into the idea of new sellers and bulk inventory and, going on Google or Facebook Marketplace and typing in Gaylords, and then the first thing you pop up and the biggest red flag is going to be great for reselling, right? Like, not picked over, right? Like, these are words that are like, and in full transparency, you all can go find me on Facebook Marketplace if you can find my listings. When I put them up for free, Johnny, I even put in there that I scan them for Amazon. So I do the universe a great service because I'm an honest guy, and I don't want somebody like me coming to get my books thinking they're going to be able to make money on Amazon. I literally put right my listing, scan for Amazon FBA.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Okay, before I move into the Gaylord topic, two things I want to focus that Mike said. So the two biggest hacks in reselling, in my opinion, is if you can get stuff to come to you and if you can get stuff to leave from you where you don't have to go anywhere. That is huge. If you can figure out both methodologies where you got inventory coming to you inbound and it's leaving outbound the stuff you don't want, you are in a fine position to really go ham on your business, really.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's really money related too, like what you're saying. Like, people are probably thinking like, oh, like why not just list the books on Facebook Marketplace for like 20 or 40 bucks, right? A carload of books. No, like I'm winning in the process game, not the money game. I already made all my money off of this. I just need it gone. So when in 2 weeks I get reached out again, I have this space in the storage unit. And for everybody out there, like, oh, just get a bigger storage unit, and then you just got a bunch of junk sitting around. Like, anybody knows, like, I'm turn and burn. Let's get through this stuff as fast as we possibly can. So what Johnny's saying is right. Like, it doesn't always have to be money motivated, right? You just need it gone, and you level up your processes, not necessarily your bank account, but you already got your bank account leveled up from scanning through all the stuff you got.
And I lied, I had two more on this. And then we can talk about Gaylords. The other one is mom and pops. If instead of the chains like McKay's, HalfPrice, Second and Charles, if you can network with them where they're going to, again, this is similar to what I was talking about, having a certain buyer. Well, this certain buyer is now a mom and pop store. If they buy, like he was saying, Agatha Christie's all day long and they aren't good for Amazon and eBay, well, guess where those Agathas are going? But again, if you can make them come to you instead of you going to their store, that's the most ideal. And either they're going to give you cash money, or they're going to give you store credit. They give you store credit, well, you can shop around, assuming that's a stuff where store worth something. If it's not, just take the money and source elsewhere. Another big one I've seen, and it's a little bit more work intensive, is I've seen people do like pop-up book sales. Like they'll have a monthly book sale, either at a storage unit or an outdoor sale kind of event to get rid of their duds that way, monetize a little bit. However, that does take a little bit of your time because you got to set it up. More than likely, you're going to have to organize it. And lastly, you're going to have to sit there. And then you're going to have to clean up what doesn't sell at the end, unless you're doing it month by month and it just rolls into the next one. Now we can talk about Gaylords.
All right, I'm gonna start this out. I'm gonna go hard in the paint here, right from the beginning. Anybody that's selling Gaylords on Facebook Marketplace or Google.com, it's picked over, dude, and you're never gonna be able to convince me otherwise. The people you see that win with Gaylords in the media space, in any space, they are literally getting it from the source, right? Think about this. Do you think these huge media players you see right, with their conveyor belts. You think they're buying their gaylords off Facebook Marketplace? No, they're coming from the back rooms of libraries. They're coming from literally the sources, the best possible sources, because that's the only way you can make money in bulk, is if it's from not picked over further up the stream. So anybody that's out there like, hey, I'll sell you a gaylord, right? Like, it's a great price. And why wouldn't, okay, as greedy as people are, if I had a gaylord of unscanned media, why wouldn't I just do it myself? How many people out there? There are a few exceptions to this, right? Like some of these like Amazon liquidation stores, they get gaylords and they don't want to deal with the books. 100%, I know people in our group deal with those types of pallets of books from the Amazon return stores, and they're pretty decent. That would probably be the only exception to anybody just stumbling into like, where do these people get the gaylord of books from? Why are they even interested in getting a gaylord of books? Clearly, they probably are interested in books or selling books. So this idea that somebody's selling a gaylord and it's not picked over, it was 100% a lie on Facebook Marketplace, and for the most part in any marketplace. And I've had tons of one-on-ones with people that have gotten literally burned by people saying, hey, this gaylord's not picked over. And then you come to find out, well, yeah, we are kind of skimming the good stuff off the top, right? It's like I joked about in one, last YouTube video I did about the DVDs, and I said, you know what I do? I'll sell you this gaylord, and the first one you scan will be real profitable on top, and then I'll bury one that's real profitable at the very end. So the first one you scan, you're like, yes, we're going to get rich. And you go through all the junk, and then the very last one you scan is like, oh yeah, let's buy another one, Johnny. Look at this. Like, it's the last one we got. I think it's a con game, dude. It's like the guys growing up in Philly, they'd be on the train and they got their three little shells with the ball underneath, right? It's 100% the same thing. I think it's all a scam.
See, if I was a scammer, I wouldn't put them on the top. I put them at the bottom. I would always put them at the bottom, never the top, because they'll be hating themselves, and then they get the bottom, they're all excited again, right? Because if you start at the top and then you start and you finish that, then it's just misery afterwards. See, I'd flip the script. All the good shit would go on the bottom. But I'm gonna share my screen here, and I'm gonna go over some terminology that you all should be aware of. If you are listening to this on a podcast, don't worry, I'm going to read it aloud. But if you want to hop over to the YouTube and follow along and take down some notes, feel free to do so. And while you're there, make sure to like and subscribe to the Used Book Guy channel because we like subscribers.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
This is the first time in podcast history this screen is actually going to be shared.
I think so.
It is.
And full discretion, I got this from Omar on his website Books Pro. He has a little PDF you can download. I read through it. A lot of it was old hat, but I did like this certain page in here, and that's kind of what inspired me to do this topic. So at the bottom here, in bulk book purchases, loads are categorized into three based on the quality of the books: raw, donated, unprocessed books. He's got some prices here which may or may not be up to date, plus the gaylord and pallet cost. Shelf picks: books sold on local stores and later collected. Gaylord and pallet, plus the gaylord and pallet cost. And then salvage is the last one. Worst condition books, also lowest accept rate. And then some other commonly used terms: scanned by another online retailer, sorted by category, cost per pound, price by weight, and cost. Unscanned, not scanned by an online retailer, unsorted, not sorted by a category. So these are key terms. Whenever you're purchasing pallets, in my opinion, you should be asking the person you're trying to buy them from. If you do not ask these questions and you buy them blind, just willy-nilly, that's on you. And now I will
See,
stop sharing my screen.
no, dude, see, there's a problem with that, man, because I know this firsthand. You can buy a gaylord from me, dude, right? I'm just trying to sell stuff. Like, I'm gonna tell you whatever you want to hear. Let's be real,
Yeah,
right?
I mean, barring the fact that they just outright lie to you, yeah,
That's what
honestly.
I'm saying. Like, I personally
But
haven't
you
come
should at
across
least ask the questions, right?
I haven't come across a single reputable, great, uplifting gaylord buying experience from any single person I've done coaching calls with for the 4+ years I've had this YouTube channel. So for me, like, that's proof enough that I'm just like, there ain't no shot, right? Like, And it's been, some of these companies are more reputable in quotation marks, and it's the exact opposite. They say one thing and it's the other. And it's unfortunate because the bulk does prey on almost new sellers because they see it as a way to be able to scale quickly. But when it's all junk, then you can't scale quickly. It literally will cripple your business and stop you from even getting off the ground and making any type of money. So for me, I love, like, I had a 6,000 DVD pickup last month, and that was excellent. Like, I'm fine. Like, sign me up for as many pieces of disc media. And I'm full transparency. Okay, you guys think when I go on Facebook Marketplace, right, that I'm looking at every photo and I'm like zooming in to see, like, I just need my price to be right. And I want to pay between 10 and 15 cents a piece per DVD or CD. I don't care what, like, there's no way. Like, first off, there ain't enough photos to show, 5, 6,000 DVDs. Second off, I'm just like, well, at that price point, I'm never going to lose. And I've never lost money on any type of bulk buy I've done. Sure, there's been times where I come close to breaking even, but like, I never lost my ass across the board. And I'm just buying stuff blindly. I just see there's 6,000 DVDs. I do ask questions, right? Because why the hell does somebody have 6,000 DVDs, right? Like, what's going on here? The last one was like a movie store clean out that a guy did, but he didn't sell media, so he just threw it in the basement. The one prior to that was the guy bought a record store and he had a pile of CDs. He didn't even care about the CDs. He wanted to renovate the space into like a loft kind of real estate kind of deal. But you ask the questions before you buy, even in those situations, because why does somebody have, a Gaylord of books? Why does somebody have 6,000 DVDs? And you can inquire, and sure, right? That person might be lying to you. In today's world, unfortunately, people are kind of on the scummier side, especially in the reselling universe. So you got to understand, okay, well, there's a chance that this might be absolute garbage. And I might have to do a lot of work and I might have to get rid of things. But if you can still get it at the right price, at least you're not going to lose your bank account over it. Like, I'm not going to go spend $10,000. I'm not even going to spend $1,000. I guess the highest I would go was like $2,000 on a bulk. If I had this crazy bulk opportunity and I never bought anything from them and I just showed up and was like, here, take my money and I'll take everything. All right. Even if I was in a situation like that, I'm going to see what they actually have before I hand over the money, right? I'm going to get there and, hey, can I take a look at what we got before we actually, finalize the deal? Because you just show up and you just throw your money at them. They don't care, right? You got to do a little bit of due diligence as best you can because people are slime balls and it's, dude, I love bulk DVDs and CDs. Hey, that tractor trailer pulls up, Johnny. Hey, me, Deb, and the cats, we're going down there. We're unloading that damn thing. And I used to scan my bulk inventory on the sidewalk, regardless of the, as long as it wasn't raining, because I didn't have a pop-up tent, 100-degree heat, sunburn out there on the sidewalk. So nobody can tell me that, oh man, what am I going to do? What am I going to deal with it? And then guess what? I'm on the third damn floor. So everything I do find, you got to come all the way up. I remember the one summer it was so hot and I had so many CDs. I forget where I got the CDs from, but it
All
was
I
so hot.
remember is there was one week where you had to wear a Gilligan's Island hat.
Dude, I had to. It was so hot. I was just carrying the CDs up to the apartment in the air conditioner for Deb to scan because it was so hot outside. But
Yeah.
like, that's the work that comes with it. It's like you said, right? Like, nobody puts out there like them in the Gaylord and like their back is, crushed and it turns into like a Bengay commercial because you can't bend for like the next 3 weeks of your life. You just see like, look what I got out of the Gaylord. And it's like, what's the accept rate? It's like 10%. 90% of it, you got to burn. Good luck figuring out a way to burn it.
Right. Now, another key thing here is I agree. You can ask the questions, but just we're going to use the old Russian proverb, trust but verify. And how do you verify? Well, you buy it and you go through it, and what are the results? And let's say the first one's good. Let's say you buy two. Oh, okay. Now it's time for the truckload. Don't do that. Just buy consistently for a little while until you fully trust them enough to then go to the truckload route. Because they could always send you, okay, we're going to sucker them in. Just like we were saying, putting the good stuff on top. The first couple pallets, we'll give them nothing but good stuff. The next ones after that, nah. it just gets mixed in with the good, the bad, mostly bad and ugly.
Do you think we are too negative about like getting scanned in with bulk inventory?
No, I think we want to caution people because if we set the expectation high of it's great and Skittles and rainbows, and it's not, it'll be a bad result for both the person doing it and anybody else they talk to about doing bulk. So as long as you go in with the mindset of a worst case scenario and it ends up a better case scenario, I think we serve our audience telling them this. Now, a couple things on Gaylords. To process them, there's two methodologies. One is a crap ton of expensive equipment. Second is manual. You're probably most of you, if you're going to try this, you're going to file in the manual route. So I'm going to give you some advice on the manual. Do not bend over constantly to go through the Gaylord. Like as you go through, it gets lower, right? So your first inclination is to bend in there. Your back is going to be screaming once you're finished. Get a knife, unless you plan on reselling the Gaylord box itself. Get a knife, start cut it. Cut it on two sides so you can get access. It'll just naturally spill out. If you spend all day bending, I promise you, unless you're like 20 years old, you're gonna be hurting.
I was gonna say that, like, if I had to do it, I've never personally had like an actual Gaylord, right? The box and the pallet and everything, but I would just cut it down the side and just kind of
Yeah, you
let it
cut it down the
fall.
side on one side, and when you need to go deeper, you just cut. Another thing is grab a crate or something and like shuffle it in the crate and then go to your table or whatever you're processing. Please don't bend over constantly. You will truly hurt yourself, and or be miserable for the next couple of days if you do it that way. Also, the squatting on the knees, that's going to hurt you too. It's just going to hurt your knees a lot, especially if you're on the older side. I mean, you know this if you've been doing thrifts, right? How long can you squat doing those lower shelves? It hurt.
Yeah.
Get yourself some knee pads. That's better than squatting. And you'll look silly and ridiculous, but you'll spare your knees and your back that way. So those are my two tips if you're going to do the manual route. Also, pallet jack. That'll save you a little bit of money on fees because if you need to tell them to move it somewhere, that's going to be an additional fee for your truck. A pallet jack, like a hand crank one, that's going to cost you a couple $100, but it's worth that expense. Now, if you're like, screw that, I want to buy myself a forklift. Well, good luck with that, buddy. Same for a tipper. People, you don't know what that is. It literally raises it up and tips it down onto the table and spills them all out. Again, this is the difference between manual and machinery. Machinery does make your life easier, but it comes with a higher expense and maintenance cost because those machines can and will break.
Mega sellers win in bulk because they have the machinery, right? If you compare, if me and Johnny, I was a manual guy and he has all the fancy equipment, right? He's got the things off with the forklift, and I'm still trying to figure out how to even get into my Gaylord, right? The glorified, part-time bulk sellers that win are people that can't spend a lot of time in their business and they have the inventory sitting in their garage. So when they get an hour or two, they can go grab a box. Grab, a bag full and scan through it. Those are the part-timers that win in bulk. I mean, the part-timers that are losing in bulk is basically everybody else. If you just have stuff sitting around and you just let it sit there, and it's such a slippery slope. And we have so many people in the group, right, that are successful with Gaylords. But I just think back to what I said earlier. Like it is, like you said, you came up with the terminology, right? You got the terminology, like these are unscanned, like fresh inventory, raw inventory.
These are shelf pulls from, I don't know, half price books. Never been touched.
Yeah, so like that's like those are the people that win. They're not, I've still yet to come across somebody that's successful buying Gaylords off Facebook Marketplace or from some other reputable sources out there in the universe. It's all
Well,
horror
here's
stories.
one for you. Goodwill pallets, right? I mean, you can have pretty good results with that, especially if it's like a Goodwill bins pallet. Like they just put the books in this Gaylord and it's just sitting there for you to go through. You walk over to the manager or somebody and say, how much for just to buy it? They tell you $40. Game on. They tell you $180. Well, screw that guy. But here's a tip on pallets. If you have a truck, instead of more than likely, it's not going to fit in there with the tailgate on, you can literally take your tailgate off. You're gonna have to Google how to do this on your truck, but I guarantee you the pallet will then go in your truck because normally it has the either the metal or the cords where it hangs the tailgate. But if you remove that, it'll go in nicely. Now, if you got the hubs on the interior that are over the wheels, it's not gonna fit. I'm sorry. But if you so happen to be in that circumstance, you can just take your tailgate off and it'll pop right in. And I'm telling you this to like the 10% of you that may have a truck like that. So good job, 10%.
I'm gonna tell this story of how you can crush your I guess would be your competition's soul and business with bulk. We got a guy in the group, Roy. He does
Love
bulk,
Roy. Roy's a good guy.
and so he goes to the Goodwill bins, right? Because you're talking about Goodwill Gaylords, and there's a bunch of crazy ass booksellers. If you ever been to the Goodwill bins for books, it's chaos, right? So they roll out their little bin. And then they say go, and everybody just fills up their cart and goes to the side and scans it all. They have no, they have no mannerisms. It's just chaos. So, because he's a genius, he's a small business owner. This is just one of his many operations that he has. He said, "You people are crazy." He went to the manager and said, "Hey, can I just buy these things
There you
outright?"
go, right there. Yeah.
Looks like what Johnny said. Can I just buy these
Can
things
I just buy
outright?
it? Yeah.
So now every, I don't know the exact day, but for the sake of this, I'm just going to say every Monday, little old Roy drives on down with his trailer and pickup truck to the Goodwill bins before opening. They open at 9, he's there at 8:30. He backs up to the dock. There's a line of crazy booksellers standing out front. He buys all of the Gaylords so they don't even make it to the floor. And then on his way out of the parking lot, he drives past the line with a cigar in his mouth and laughs and waves at all the booksellers in line. And I mean, this is like the prime example of leveling up your business. The price is right, right? The Goodwill Gaylords, they're not expensive at all. He's got the processes on the back end to quickly get through these and get rid of them. I mean, this is like the perfect example of if I ever had a truck. My name was Roy. I smoke cigars. That is exactly who I would want to be, just because that's it. That's business-minded thinking on the next level.
Now he just needs to get a driver to go pick it up for him so Roy could just continue to buy at home or process at home, making it come to him, essentially.
And I don't know if he smokes cigars. I just thought it'd be like a cool
We're
imagery
gonna say
of.
he smokes cigars because that makes Roy 10 times cooler if he does.
Like I could just see like the image of some dude in his truck with a cigar laughing and waving as he's got like his open top trailer with like 10 Gaylords in it, and then everybody goes in at 9 o'clock and there's like three books to fight over.
Okay, now I'm going to speak to the 90% of people that don't have a truck like I described. So for you guys, how do I do it? And I know, and I've seen photos even in our Discord of you guys filling up your cars to the brim on the interior with windows rolled up, leaning to the side, head out the window, driving at 40 miles an hour because you can't see anything to the left or right or behind you. You could do that. Alternatively, and maybe it's more than one carload and it's 40 minutes away and you don't want to have to do multiple trips. There's this place called U-Haul. They have.
Nah, dude, we're too cheap. Come on now. Just
No,
throw me
no, no,
off in the
no. That is
ops.
worth the money. That is worth the money. It costs, like, I'm doing one because I'm going out of state to do like a 3 or 4,000 book pickup. And I couldn't do more. I couldn't do a truckload worth. So I am going to rent a trailer. It's like a 4x8 enclosed trailer. It's cost me $60 for 3 days. That includes a noon pickup time and a noon drop off time. And it gives me an all day drive time, right? For $60 and an enclosed trailer for a 3 day rental, hell yeah.
Yeah, but I ain't got a hitch, dude. I ain't got a hitch on the Ultima.
Okay, I will say that you will have to buy yourself a hitch. But if you plan on staying in the game a while, you might consider just buying the damn hitch, Mike. A one time purchase. Come on.
I'm broke, dude. I sell books for a living.
So if you do this first time, you may be spending 160. But every time after that, and it'll be cheaper if it's just a day rental, right? It'd be like $30 a time after that. But you can do it in whatever Ultima, Geo class, Mercedes car you got, right? You don't have to have a big old truck. And when you're done with it, it just goes back to good old U-Haul. Now, if you plan on staying in the game for a while and you're scaling and scaling and scaling, you may want to buy a trailer like Mr. Roy has. But again, that'd be an extra cost onto you. But these are things to keep in mind. Again, this is a tool. I consider it like a dolly. Sometimes you need to have a damn dolly. Sometimes you need to have a damn trailer. Because going back and forth to do big hauls, I'm telling you, that sucks. I'd rather just get the U-Haul rental, do it once, and be done.
I got one that I want to hit on here is don't think you're going to be the outlier, right? So utilize the community we have, regardless of your category, right? Whatever community, YouTube community, social media community. If Johnny is getting Gaylords from someplace and it sucks, and I think I'm going to get them and they're going to be better. That is not the case. And I'll give a perfect example of somebody in the community that saved my ass. And we had him on the podcast many, many moons ago. John Muscarella, Side Hustle Experiment. He used to do bulk books. He lives 20 minutes from me. And there was a library that reached out to me and said, "Hey, our book guy isn't picking up the books after the sale this year. Are you interested?" Well, I'm thinking to myself, like, how many book guys are around me, right? So like I shot John a message. I'm like, "Yo, dude, like, was this you?" And he said, "Mike, do not do that." And I said, "Case closed, buddy." He's like, "I did it, and I literally, it was like 99% not worth it." And he had to just take it all to the Goodwill outlets to get rid of it. And he had to rent the U-Haul and everything because it was a lot of books. It was one of the bigger sales in the area. So if you are on the fence or you come across one of these websites or one of these gurus trying to push buying inventory in bulk, you know, shoot me a message, right? I don't like publicly out these terrible sources. And some days, Johnny, I'm like, man, I just want to make a video and out all the nonsense that goes on in the
Burn all the
space.
bridges, Mike. Burn them all.
Just be me and Johnny, right? We don't even care. We'll be 90 years old. We'll just be us two, no
Two grumpy old
members
men and
because,
the Muppets. That's
yeah,
us.
we burned everybody. No, but like, do your due diligence and you'd be surprised that maybe somebody else had an experience, and all the experiences that I've seen or heard over the years with some of these bulk sources, I can be like, now when somebody tells me, like, "Oh, I bought them from this company," I'm like, "Oh, no," right? Like, I know other people that have had similar experiences with these people. So it's just ask questions, and it saved my ass big time because I would have had to rent a U-Haul, and then I would have just basically had to take it all to Goodwill outlet. I basically would have been working for free for 2 or 3 days with the amount of books. So I mean, it's smart to not only do your due diligence with the source, but ask around in some larger communities or larger groups if anybody else has ever dealt with this company or person that's selling this basically inventory in bulk.
Okay, I'm going to talk on a couple more sources, and then I want to talk about red flags with your current source, at least in bulk. But auctions, people have mixed results. In my area, they are fantastic. In other areas, they're just literal crap. But on auctions, here's some tips here. If you can see it by the shelf or they're showing the whole room, and you put in a minimum bid of $2, you know what? You won. Well, driving out 50 minutes for a shelf or a room full of books kind of sucks. So what I tend to do when I do the auctions, I'll do many of those and I'll make a whole day of it. And I may or may not need the U-Haul based off what I'm buying, but that's a great way to get somebody's collection. There's a lot of money in collections, or there's a lot of no money in collections. So you need some book knowledge. You're not going to be able to scan these things in advance, more than likely. And that just leads into networking with those auction houses after you pick it up. So I'm probably brushing over a couple things there, but we're short on time, so I'm going to go on to the
I'm
next.
too much, dude. I'm too impulsive. Like, I'm just like, raise my paddle every time, right? And then, like, Deb's got a paddle, and then we're raising our paddle against each other because we just want to win, and we wind up paying way too much money.
Okay, another tip on auctions, if you're unfamiliar with auctions, is don't bid up front. Wait till the last half hour. And then put in your bids. Because what happens if you put in a minimum bid and a maximum bid, it's going to go straight to your maximum within 24 hours. So you don't raise the needle needlessly. Wait a minute. I prefer online. I've done physical auctions, but I have to sit through so much crap I don't care about to eventually get to the auction I want. I tend not to lean that way because of time. There are deals to be had at physical auctions, and if you're willing to You got more time than money. I mean, more power to you. Libraries. It's real tempting to be a clean out guy for a library, but as Mike mentioned, red flag, or they need to thin out their shelves. Try it, but if after I'm going to say two attempts, if it's just not worth your time, you need to cease dealing, being the clean out guy with that particular library. One time's okay. I mean, it sucks, but it happens. But two times in a row, not a fan. And then the last one, and people don't think about it. And as we did on the screen share, if you don't know what I'm talking about, head on over to the video and rewind it or rewind the video. Is the sal or the yeah, the salvage companies. Basically, they get books. It's the last of the line, essentially, before they get recycled. You're gonna get great deals there, but there's gonna be a lot of crap there. But you are gonna get some bangers here and there because stuff gets missed. We say we miss things all the time. Other scanners miss things all the time. It ends up at this place, and before it dies, yeah, it could be an attempt for you to get it. However, I agree with what the little document showed. The probably the lowest end accept rate there, just because of what I mentioned. It's been through so many hands before it ended up there. That's the only reason why it has that low accept rate.
Red flags. Well, we'll just go shot for shot here, all right? So I might steal yours. Great for reselling. I'm out.
Ha, dead animals in my palate. I'm out.
Not picked over. I'm out.
Them changing the deal last minute, either they raise the price or remove something from the deal right when you're about to pay.
Oh man, dude, that's a good one.
I've had it happen to me.
That is a good one. That threw me off here. Let me see here. I don't know if this is one, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. No, I guess it's not one, because then they really just want it all gone. I don't know. You got another one? Skip me. Skip.
Raising the price too many times within the year.
This is a weird one, but I think it might have some. I think this one might have a little bit of solidarity behind it. Must take everything at once.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because, I mean, then you can't come back and be like, yo, like there was a pile of dog crap in this.
They failed to deliver on time, and they. Well, I'm gonna leave it there. I'll do another one after that. Go ahead.
Seeing reselling supplies in the photo of the bulk inventory. I have had this happen. I've seen scanners, I've seen polymailers, I've seen basically their whole reselling shipping setup, and they're trying to spin it as it's great for you.
When you have an issue and you deal with customer support and they want nothing to do with you, business as is.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if any reputable company will fix a problem, right? Like they'll, if I was selling Gaylords and for some reason, there's a 3 foot rat in the bottom, right? I'm gonna fix that for Johnny, right? Like that's my business, that's my reputation. So if they're not willing to fix something for you, yeah, we're out of there for sure. There's so many upsides, but there's so many pitfalls. It's almost like gambling. Bulk inventory is like the gambling of reselling because you don't know what you're going to get, and you could have great, like I had with the DVDs, you could have great buys, or you could have it like I had too, where I drove 30 minutes and they were all outside and it was all cookbooks that were worth absolutely nothing, but I still have to provide the service. It's just such a gamble, and it's fun gambling. I ain't going to lie, right? Like it's fun, that's why a lot of us got into it. Storage wars, you open up the door, you don't know what's in there, right? Like, hey, let's go. But it works both ways. You can get burned. You can make a lot of money. Any final thoughts on bulk, Johnny?
I think the one thing we didn't cover, there are beyond pallets, they do palletize. What that basically means is they come in boxes, which is a lot more easier to work with than a big old box with everything poured in. But you're gonna have like, I don't know, 20 boxes. I like those much more than actual Gaylord. Gaylord's a lot of work. So that's my final thought on podcast as a whole. My final thought for everyone. I think Mike said it multiple times, so I'm going to reemphasize it here. Do your due diligence, whether it's a test buy, asking the right questions, trying different types of bulk to find out what works for you. You're going to have to do it. Keywords and due diligence. You're going to have to do it to actually know. Because everything we mentioned here, some of those are going to be great in certain areas, and some of them are going to be crap. Just like I mentioned, auctions are great in my area. They may be crap for you in your area. That's fair. Try something else if it isn't working. Trying to force it to work, you're just going to lose.
Yeah, and it's funny, the pallet of CDs I bought was boxed, like you said, and it was like the perfect size boxes for CDs, and it was like two rows of CDs. Dude, oh my God, I could get through
So much
like
easier.
10 pallets of those a day
So
because
much easier.
the barcodes were all the same way. There's two nice rows. Oh my God, sign me up for that bulk life. I'll take that any day of the week. That's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.